Oh, look, it's only half past. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stuff in tech. We're missing Atlee. Atlee's got a new app and it's not working at the moment because I think he's gone for the wrong feed. So we're getting that fixed. But he's had to travel, so he can't come. And Big Chris Ashley's supposed to be here, but he's got a meeting and he can't get out of it. So we're stuffed. But I do have two fine replacements joining me. First off, Chris Campion, with the new glasses. How the devil are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Not bad at all, thank you. Look at you, skinny mini.
Yeah, I've done 15 kilos now.
Well done.
That's what, 33 pounds?
Brilliant.
33 pounds.
Yeah, looking good.
I did a kilo from Tuesday to today. So, dripping off me, mate. I've engaged the services of a nutritionist called Callum Walker, and he's frigging great. He's just brilliant. And he gave me a lesson on three sources of energy and that kind of stuff the other day. And I was like, blew my mind. It was just like, I knew bits about it, but what he showed me was just incredible. At the moment, he's got me on a fasting. So he's like, I don't want you to eat until you're absolutely hungry. If you think you're hungry, have a cup of Bovril. And if after 5 minutes of finishing it, you're still hungry, then eat. If you're not, it's because your body needed salt. So just keep doing that. And I went from Tuesday morning to lunchtime today without eating. And I didn't feel, I wasn't lightheaded, nothing, didn't feel anything. He said, we're just going to get your ketones working and they'll help digest the fat a lot faster. And it's just like, wow. So I started off on a protein diet, and then he's moved me on to this new thing that's supposed to help me with ketones, that's supposed to accelerate it and keep it, because I'd plateaued a little bit, you see.
So is it like the keto diet where you would go more towards fats and proteins and avoid carbs altogether?
I haven't been on carb. I haven't had a carbohydrate for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, keto basing. Yeah, good. So, well done.
And my proteins, he's cut my proteins right back as well now. So I'm eating like pure fat.
Yeah.
It's like cut the fat off the cow, give the meat to someone else.
A lot of athletes. There's a lot of athletes who use a keto diet though.
Yeah, and I know then, I turned this into this week. This week in nutrition, because I don't know anything about it. But he was saying that if you take in, I was like, what about saturated fat and triglycerides and all that stuff? He said, you can't digest it. He said, you can't. It just goes through you. You won't have a problem. Don't worry, mate. And it'll be like, that's okay. And then the influence, when he demonstrated the influence of carbohydrates on how it works, I was just like, got you. That's so cool. And that's exactly, I get that now. Yeah. Mm. He's brilliant. He's really good. So if you want to lose weight, mate, Callum Walker, tell him I sent you. How are you doing, Cam? How's the leg?
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. The cast came off last week. I'm in a robo boot now. I've got that for another week. So it'll be for what, five, coming up to 5 weeks in cast and 2 weeks in robo boot. And hopefully then I'll be able to walk. Look, I can take it off each day and sort of potter around in the house as long as there's no risk of slipping. As long as I look after it. And it is just weak. It's weak at the minute. I think next week, by next week when I get this boot, I don't have to rely on this anymore. I can get some swimming done, maybe a little bit of cycling, start building up a little bit of strength. I don't think I'll be running very far at all this year. So I'll build up and start again next year.
Well, the bone's stronger than when you broke it.
Yep. Oh. It's just building up the muscle now. Yeah. And the doctor said, up my vitamin D, up my calcium, and no more. I want to avoid the risk of any more stress fractures. So end of the year, hopefully nice and strong, and then I can bounce back into 2019 and do well in some races then.
Good man. Excellent. Positivity, that's what we need here.
Hopefully.
Talking of positive, I'll be positive. This is Jeff Gamet.
I'm pretty positive too.
Mate, we were talking before the start. You look so Halloween. It's frigging cool.
You know, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. No, it's okay, this time of year. I love that orange glow from the lamp below you. Very Vincent Price.
Thank you. And I just wish that I had a vampire with me, some demon that I could bring up in front of the camera. But nope, it's just pumpkin me.
Yeah, no, you're all right, mate. You look good. How have you been?
I've been all right. And the reason I'm pumpkin-y, though, is because my computer isn't.
No.
It's a 2016 MacBook Pro, so it's back in the shop to get another keyboard.
Well, James Rickards knows a song about that. But luckily, it finishes on a nice chord, which is a 2018 MacBook Pro.
Oh, well, see, that's awesome.
Yeah, you can do it.
Maybe that's how mine will end, too.
Now, what's this about Apple Context Machine coming to an end?
Oh, yeah. So Brian and I decided that it was time to wrap up the show. And so don't know what its replacement is going to be yet, but we're working on what that will be.
It's just going to be the same stuff with a different title.
Probably.
Good man.
Different logo, too.
Same shit, different podcast.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
That's how you keep it fresh.
No. Batwinch says, have I found out that my breath has got stinky? No more than usual. And Windrider says, I know a fellow who eats every second day. He's lost half his body weight and he's no longer diabetic. I've heard about that as well. And it's supposed to work. Jeff, I could suck you dry. Good God.
What?
What Batwinch.
Moist what list. I'm hearing in the chat.
Moist list is one thing, but let's just calm down.
Blimey.
Did it just get hot in here?
It might be a pumpkin reference. I don't know, but I've never heard of anyone suck. Don't teach your grandmother to suck pumpkins.
I don't know. There's probably people that would pay to watch that.
The Week in Tech, all the stuff that's gone on. We've got an Apple event coming up on the 30th. Apple are going to rebrand as Pumpkin, I reckon, because I think that's Apple's all that. And there's loads of other stuff going on, I'm sure, that we can talk about. I've bought a Windows laptop. That's a bit of a story, isn't it?
Did you lose a bet?
The last time I used Windows for work, it was Windows 95, and the last time I had tried Windows, it was Vista. So, and I've had a bit of an issue that I did have camps on the phone. Dude, what the hell's going on here? I can't find this. And it turned out because I was slagging off Windows, but actually it was the disk that was the problem. So the reason I couldn't find it wasn't because of Windows, it was because the disk was crap. So now I bought a commercial laser printer, a laser etcher rather, and it only runs on Windows. Doesn't run on anything else. So I'm stuffed.
So did you get around the disk fault then? Did you manage to get the drivers?
No, I sent the whole thing back because I couldn't test fire the laser. So I think it was knackered. So it's all gone back now. Batwin says, am I feeling all right? Yes, I am. So thank you very much. Vampire Bat, I think was what the suck reference was about, but never mind. Vampire Batwin.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, it's still okay.
It still was worth the comedic value alone. Worth it. I still haven't got my watch from Greeny. Mind you, I haven't paid for it yet, I don't think. So. Last week's shows yet.
I can't believe he did that.
I don't know how many he's bought. 10,000 watches. I haven't posted the show yet, though. So I've got to be careful when I post this, because if this comes out too soon, people won't listen anyway. Right. The Week in Tech. Who's got a story that they want to talk about?
Boom.
Which Windows laptop did I get? That gives me a few more minutes now to call this up. Which Windows laptop did I get? I got a Lenovo, and it's scary good, I have to say. It was £149 off eBuyer, and it's only got a 64-gig hard drive, and it's only got 4 gig of RAM, and it's an Intel Celeron. But it's fine. It's perfectly good. I'd give it to the kids happily as a Chromebooky type thing just to do some coursework on and things like that. And at £149, no brainer. I was really impressed. And the Windows 10 is actually quite pleasant once you start playing with it. So, yeah, not too bad at all. Facebook admits its new spy equipment can spy on you. Emphasis on the can, I'm guessing here, Caps.
Hey, Jeff's.
Oh, it's Jeff. One? Jeff, sorry. Sorry, Jeff.
That's all right. If you... you can reassign stories at your leisure. This is, after all, your show.
I just worked on the principle in my head that Camps is usually quicker than you, so I just assumed it was Camps.
I'm normally scared that somebody else loved my story.
Assumption.
You're not one to race for the gate normally, mate.
No, and honestly, I assumed that my story was going to drop in line second. So I am just as surprised as you are, Ewan.
Excellent, mate. So tell us why they're admitting, because like I said, this Facebook finally admits that its new spy equipment can spy on you, but it doesn't mean it is.
Right. So the deal is Facebook announced their new hardware product called Portal, which is, it's a video chat appliance that you can set on your desk or an end table or whatever and do Facebook video chats with people. And so Facebook was asked just straight out, are you going to collect data through this device and use that to target people with ads? And Facebook said, nope. And then a little while later, they backtracked and said, okay, funny story. When we said no, what we meant was we actually have the ability to do exactly that. We can collect all kinds of data about your activity through the Portal appliance and then use that to target you with ads and sell information to other advertisers.
Right.
But we're not doing that right now.
Well, I suppose lying's one thing, isn't it? But are you doing it? No, we're not. Can you do it? No, we're not. When actually you can, he's probably a little bit naughty, but...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So when they were asked if they could do it and said no, they should have just right up front said yes, but we're not.
I think if they'd have turned around straight away and said, yeah, of course we can. Everything that passes through our infrastructure, we can. Whether we will or not is a totally different matter. I think everybody would suspect that of Facebook anyway.
And it turns out everything that... it's not a totally different matter.
Yeah, you know... I think that this is not going to help Facebook earn the trust of users.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it's going to hurt the trust that people have in Amazon. If they have trust in Google, their trust in Google, Microsoft, because you know, people have been skeptical about privacy with Cortana, with Alexa, with Siri, and this isn't going to help. Because
do you think though, Jeff? Because I agree, I don't think it'll help, but equally, I don't think it'll do them any harm. Because all of the big companies, in one way or another, have had something like this. Maybe not as deep as this, but something happened. And I've never heard anybody leaving in droves, because they fundamentally don't trust anymore. And therefore, you never see any mass deletion of Facebook accounts by end users because they're appalled that Facebook have done this and the other or Amazon have done anything. I think people will say, we're not happy, we don't trust you anymore. But coming to press that deactivate button is very different. Nobody seems to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. People have a very dysfunctional relationship with their social networks and voice assistant platforms.
They realize that the opinion they have when they read the story may be quite strong. When they realize that what they're going to do for all the rest of those hours in the day that they currently look at the screens, when they're going to have to speak to their family and talk to the husband or wife on the sofa on a night suddenly because they deleted the Facebook account, they're not going to let it go.
Yeah, that's true. I think where this is more likely to have a more immediate effect is that some people that may have been kind of on the fence about whether or not they went to buy a Portal, they may be less inclined to buy one now. But that said, I think Portal is going to tank. I don't think this is going to sell well. I don't think Facebook's going to be making this a year from now. It's going to be like the Facebook phone, and most people probably totally forgot there was one until I just said it.
That was my next question was going to be, if this is doing Zigbee and all the other kind of stuff, then it's attacking the Amazon Show a little bit. So if it can control Alexa and Hey Siri and all that kind of stuff, then fair enough. But it's not, is it? It's Skype. It's a Skype box.
Yeah, sorry, it's basically what it minute. Is. Yeah. So I think that Facebook didn't do themselves any favors with the way they weren't completely upfront. The way they completely didn't tell the truth, I guess, about the potential for ad monitoring initially. And I feel like this is a product that's showing up about 10 years too late, maybe 15 years too late.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So if this was attacking Skype when we first started doing these shows, you know, 8 to 10 years ago, then yeah, it would have been cool. But
yeah, and really, people that are into video chat, and there's a lot of people that are, they're probably doing it exclusively from their smartphone.
Yeah.
FaceTime, Skype, stuff like that. WhatsApp.
There's a question here about corporate. I don't know what the word is I'm going to say really, but it's suggesting that it's in the DNA of Facebook not to tell the truth. quote from Windrider. But there is a certain, you know, maybe it's because they're so constantly attacked. It's just like, you know, it's like when your kids come up and you go, did you break this pane of glass? No. Okay, there's only you and me in the house, and it was there a minute ago. So, you know, just come clean. Truth time. Come on, truth time. And they're still going, no, it wasn't me, Dad. Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, the price of the portal as well, $200 for the smaller device, $350 for the larger device. That price point just seems to be absolutely out of whack when you compare it to something like Amazon Show.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea why anybody would want to spend that sort of money on this very niche product.
I am with you. I am having a really hard time figuring out who the viable market is.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing it.
I mean, so there's a next question in that we're not particularly, I go on Facebook once a day, quick look, see what's happening, and that's me. And I don't go back. And that's it.
I'm probably less frequent than that on Facebook, twice a week maybe, three times a week.
I've got to say what's doubled my Facebook viewing time is Lamp Lovers. So that's not a good thing. we're not the target market for this. We're not going to be the target market for this. I would never have anything through Facebook because I only go on once a day and I'm not that bothered. And I don't enjoy the interface, I have to say, with Facebook. It's too busy. There's too much going on. And I've even lost, you know, enjoyment out of Twitter of like I go on and I'll just post the odd message, but I'm not really that into it anymore like I used to be since we've had Slack. Really, Slack has killed it for me because the people I do want to talk to are in Slack, and there are people out there on Twitter I do want to talk to, but I'd rather they came in Slack to do it. So
yeah, I get it.
I just don't see that. Yeah. Facebook's got but the people that are into Facebook are majorly into Facebook, and they might see this as a really credible portal for them.
I can't even see on that article that it expressly details that you can use Facebook on the portal device. So certainly video calling, and I'm assuming some sort of messenger. It says that it's going to have some links into probably things like Spotify, no official support for YouTube, Netflix or anything at all like that. And it doesn't appear to have a web browser on it. Can you even browse your Facebook page on there?
I... assumed you could look at your Facebook page.
They haven't covered that in the story.
You wouldn't be able to interact with it.
Yeah.
There's no touchscreen on this.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, all right. Well, then this became even less useful.
No, I'm just trying to say, there's no touchscreen on this question mark. I can't believe there's not a touchscreen on it, because how would you call people otherwise?
There's got to be something. Unless it's all voice.
But if it's all voice, you can't browse your Facebook page because it's too busy. There we go.
Yeah, I'm doing a quick look to see what the rest of the specs are. Let's see. Camera. The bigger model has a subwoofer built in so that our voices sound better.
Skype with a subwoofer. Right. That's a Harley Davidson with a sidecar.
Yeah. Based on what it does,
it's got to have a touch screen.
It has to have a touch screen.
It doesn't say
explicitly, but to be able to interact with content like they're saying, you know, like being able to select content from Spotify and stuff, it has to have a touchscreen.
Yeah. When you look at the images, Jeff, on the...
you can see the buttons on the screen for chats.
Yeah, you can. There's buttons on the chat and there's pause, fast forward on what looks like Spotify. Yeah, so it's got a touchscreen on it.
So still, this... I don't know. I think that the people that are really into Facebook, like heavy, hardcore Facebook users that are also into video chatting, they're doing the video chat from their smartphone.
It's interesting that they built in a plastic camera cover. They built in a cover to put over the camera so no one can watch you. So it's like the spying thing is kind of, well, yeah, we could. But if you've used the plastic cover, we can't. So what's the point? Why would you manufacture a plastic cover if you wanted to spy on people?
Yeah, I agree.
And you want to see some kids talking to
that. This doesn't feel like a device that's thought out very well. It feels more like Facebook saying, hey, everyone else has something. We need something too.
Mm.
And I get that Facebook's ultimate goal is to keep people from leaving the Facebook ecosystem. So if you give people yet another way to not leave that ecosystem, a device like this to handle their video chats and music playing and stuff, okay, well, now you have locked in your core user base even more. I just don't think it's going to work.
The new tagline is going to be the new Facebook portal. It's not malicious. It's just a bit crap.
Yeah.
So Mr. Zuckerberg, was there an intent to defraud when you launched the Facebook portal? No, we just didn't think about it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's an answer that we would really get.
You believe that? That's the point. We just thought it was half baked. We just thought we'll throw it out there. You know, we just chucked it at an alpha device.
Yeah.
We're done with it.
I can totally see Facebook doing that.
Using it now, it really good. Seam stream needs to be wee up. Well, has been drinking then. The good news is, because we've had a bit of a glitch getting going this evening, but Muller said that Atlee's app wasn't working. And I've just sent a message to Atlee saying it's not working, but Muller's now refreshed it and it works perfectly. So if you want to have a go at this, we've got a Windows application that Atlee's written for us. So you can watch and chat on your Windows device. So we'll post that on the show notes if you like. And if someone's got the link, actually, can they put it in the chat room? And then all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and look at the 18th of October. Scroll down to around 9 o'clock and you'll find the 2100 and you'll find the link. And apparently Muller's been playing with it now. He's got it working and he says it's really nice.
That's cool.
So there you go. All we need now is an iOS version. But Atlee's app is working. It seems to stream really, really well. It's a nice app, Atlee, even though Atlee's not in the room.
Yeah, but he might watch this at some point, and then he'll have that good feeling.
Yeah, no. Well done, Atlee, mate. Top job. All we need is do it in iOS, though. Do it in iOS. So there'll be a link coming in. Miller's going to put a link in on where to download it. I have got a link somewhere, but I can't find it just on the hoof. Ewan says Deep Pan. Ewan, did they really build in a plastic camera cover, or was it one added at the last minute when the privacy stories broke? No, it was on launch day. It was on there, so because I clicked to the launch story. And Batwench says Facebook seems to be overly attached, so starting to sound more like an abusive relationship. Spying on data and what you're up to, etc. Those are the words of Batwinch, if you want to do a mark.
I shouldn't laugh. I only encourage people when I do that.
Yeah, if you go to BTN Live Chat, if you go to Microsoft.com and you go to the App Store and type in BTN Live Chat, you should be able to find the app from Atlee. Atlee's app. Yeah. Superb. Good story, mate. Good story. We got a lot out of that. Camps, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, when nobody buys these portal devices, they can maybe, Facebook can maybe do a bit of a deal with NCR, and we'll link that straight into my story.
Non-carbon, no?
Say again?
Sorry, I was going to make a joke about the 90s, 80s joke there about non-carbon paper.
All right, no.
No carbon reproduction.
My story tonight is, there we go, it's in the chat room.
Facial recognition tech to verify age for alcohol sales in UK supermarkets.
So
this is either going to be astounding or shit.
Well, I think so. Let me sort of summarise what this is all about. So NCR, who are the company who make a lot of the point of sale systems, they make the self scan machines that we all love in the supermarket. You know, the ones that never go wrong, that constantly tell you that you've scanned and bagged the item correctly. NCR is developing facial recognition technology that will sit on those self-service tills, analyze the face of the shopper, and therefore estimate the age of that person. So things like alcohol, I suppose medicine sales, drugs, things like that you pick up in supermarkets. And it will aim to validate age and therefore save the legs of that particular supermarket member of staff having to come over and scan their little barcode to say, yep, proof of age validated. And it kind of got me thinking. So I don't know if any of you guys have noticed in any of the supermarkets you go to, that certainly in the Asda where I go, there is, above the self-service scans, there is a screen that doesn't look an awful lot different to the portal screen on the Facebook story, with a small camera in, and it's essentially watching you. Now, initially when I first saw them, I thought, it's got a camera on it and it's got a small screen, so I can see exactly what that camera is showing and probably recording. Initially I thought, what's that all about? Because it's not looking down at whether I scanned something or not, it's watching me. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm looking, is it got some sort of algorithm, something in there that's it can see what I'm doing close up? So there's a man in a control room somewhere looking and watching exactly what I'm doing, looking for my facial, signs in my face, looking at my eyes, you know, that's how I'm looking around, I'm looking suspicious, all that sort of stuff. But after seeing this story this week, it made me think, has this been learning? Has this been using facial recognition, scanning the faces and bodies of people that have been shopping there for quite a long time, building their data up to help them build this algorithm that they're using to be able to try and validate customer ages?
Possibly. I think in the United States, the stores that I've seen these in, I think they're just security cameras. But, I mean, with those cameras already there, there's no reason why you couldn't hook them up to something else and do exactly what you just said.
I mean, if you, the thing you're looking at there is that those lenses, if you look at them, they're quite bulbous, aren't they? They look like they stick out. So that means they're wide angle. So they're looking, even though it's a small camera and it's high up on the machine, it probably can still see 180 or 165 degrees in a circle all the way around it. So it's picking up your hands, it's picking up your face, it's picking up above the camera as well, and looking at stuff. So I think it is probably more security. The other problem you're going to have is if you're looking with a wide angle lens, you're going to struggle to accurately gauge age, though, I would have thought, even with an algorithm, because people's faces will look remarkably thinner with the wider angle of lens that you go. So I think they would struggle. So
yeah, what about the legal position on this? You know, so the legal position is you as a store, you cannot legally sell alcohol to anybody under the age of 18. A lot of stores, particularly in the UK, have a challenge at 21 or a challenge at 25 type policy. If somebody goes in who looks over the age of 18 but isn't, who's liable? I'm assuming that the store is still 100% liable because they have sold or they have permitted a minor to buy alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I'm assuming that would not work out well for the store.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be great in the States because you're a pain in the ass.
Yes.
The States are a pain in the ass because even at 40 years of age, with a grey hair and a grey beard, I still have to produce ID in the US.
Yeah, you and I went to, when we went to, I think it was a trip to Vegas a few years ago, and we had a changeover in Chicago, missed the flight, so we ended up being in Chicago O'Hare for, I think, 3 or 4 hours.
That's a bad airport. And,
yeah, it's a ginormous airport.
It's a bad airport, though. It's boring.
I remember going over to this bar, and there was a guy at the end of the bar, and he must have been 70, easily 70. And they obviously, because it's the law, they ID'd him every single time he got a drink. And we were there a good hour and a half. This guy had a few drinks, and they ID'd him every single time.
That's not right.
That's a little more draconian than I've experienced. I've seen people that are obviously well over the drinking age by multiple decades. You know, people in their 60s, 70s, 80s getting carded. But once they're carded the first time, then they just keep drinking without getting carded. But on the other hand, there's a liquor store that I go into that apparently I go in a little too often because they know me. And even though they know exactly who I am, I still have to pull out my ID and they take it, even though they don't look at it, they take it and then hand it back to me because they have to check your ID every time to make sure you're
the camera sees them do it.
Yeah, they need to have on video the impression that they have checked every single ID. It's crazy.
So could you ever see this camera sort of technology happening, let alone being successful? Because I can't.
It depends how they do it with the lenses and stuff, but there's got to be some kind of parameter that it can measure with an algorithm that says that it's accurate. And there's going to be a 10% crossover and fudge factor on it. So 10% of people who are 21 are going to get thrown out and 10% of people who are 15 are going to get through. So, I can't see the accuracy's got to be significantly better than I'd say it's probably got to be 99%, 99.9% accurate. Otherwise you're selling alcohol to kids, which is
a big problem.
The kids go in, they try and buy the alcohol. If it doesn't let them have it, they send their mate in who's got a beard at 15. And if it lets him buy it, then he's going to get all the money constantly. And the lunch money is going to be buying Strongbow at lunchtime or
it's gonna be everybody's man.
White Lightning or something. And then they're not even drinking good alcohol.
No, of course they're not drinking good alcohol because they don't know yet.
Yeah.
What, maybe the algorithm can have something built into it. Age is one factor, but what kind of alcohol are you buying? And if it's good alcohol, maybe we'll let you through.
Yeah, so that's so here you go. So anyone that stands up to a till with Tennent Super has got to be a pisshead. Don't sell it to them. Anyone that stands there with Thunderbolt or White Lightning or whatever it is has got to be an underage child. Don't send it to them. Anyone that's there with Carling, just take their money because they got no taste buds and no thought process either. So,
so I get it. It's a multi-tiered system. It checks the face of the person and gauges their age and then matches that up with the type of alcohol they're buying to determine the likelihood that they actually are whatever age the system deems them to be.
Well, you see, now here's the thing. Here's a thought. Chuck this one out there. I think they'd have more success capturing the hands. As the hands are coming forward to pay for it, if they're not in gloves, hands tell age very, very well.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, no, yeah.
I think that would work far better. But I haven't... this sounds
now
like
now I'm looking at my hands. And
yeah, this sounds like a Joey hand twin thing, doesn't it? Or friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't see. I could see it for lots of... Potentially lots of other things, but I just can't see it for validation of age. Not for something as important as things like alcohol.
I'd rather cigarettes, because, I mean...
Well, you can't with cigarettes, can't you? Cause, unless there's a law change, because they have to be behind... They have to be obscured by panels, isn't it? It mentions that in the story. It's something that I didn't think about straight away, but
yeah.
they've got to be behind the counter. And they can't be easily visible, so they have to be controlled.
Yeah, well, they're stealable as well, aren't they? That's the other thing, I suppose. So, yeah.
Strange one.
Yeah,
strange one. I don't know if this one, when I've read it, is a bit of a story for story's sake, because I just can't see it going anywhere personally.
Yeah. The interesting one is this weekend, because it's the Austin Grand Prix, US Grand Prix. At Circuit of Americas, and Max Verstappen has finished on the podium the last two races, and if he finishes on the podium this race, they always show off the champagne and stuff at the end, and he's 20.
Yeah, he won't be able to have any.
So this is the last year where, because ever since he's got one, I want to see what happens in America if he does, because I'm interested to find out whether they just say, right, well, you can't have alcohol on the podium because he's 20, or whether they just ignore it completely, which I think would be really tough to do on massive television audience, or whether he drinks it and then they arrest him.
Is the law in the US that you can be arrested for drinking it, or is it buying it? What's the law?
Yeah, come on, Copper.
In the United States, purchasing... It is against the law. Purchasing for someone who's underage is against the law. Possession is against the law as well.
All right. So, yeah, the fact that he has a bottle of champagne in his hand is therefore illegal.
Now, the exception, in at least in Colorado, is that if you are in a private setting, like at your home, and you give alcohol to the underage people that are in your care, so like your kids, that's okay.
Oh.
So really, in Colorado, if you're 15 and want to get drunk, just pop a beer with dad.
Mm.
So you're saying because the Circuit of America is a private venue, which it would be, it'd be owned by the race circuit owners, there's a possibility that there might be an exemption there for that.
So long as Max's dad is stood with him on the podium.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to see that happen.
So bring this whole thing to Colorado and let's see what happens when they give him the bottle.
Is that the only time that Jos Verstappen's ever stood on the podium was to chaperone his child?
So his son can have some champagne.
Yeah, they're so weird about the whole thing here in Colorado with where you can and can't have underage alcohol stuff. If you are, say, a busboy in a restaurant and you are 20 and someone orders drinks and the alcohol glasses or the beer bottles are there on the table, you can bust the whole table except for the beer bottles. Someone that's at least 21 has to come and bust the beer bottles off the table.
There must have been a logic to that when the law was made at some point.
Some of the logic when you find out what it was for these laws, it's like absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Or it was perfectly logical
in 1750. Yeah.
Yeah. Age of consent for sex in Colorado is 15.
Okay.
So the rule is 15 and 4. So if you're under 15 and the person that you're going to have sex with is more than 4 years older than you, then that's a crime. But once someone hits 15 years old, then age gap doesn't matter anymore. And it turns out that when this law was being created long, long ago, there was one elected official in Colorado who had a thing for what everyone else would consider an underage girl. So they wrote the law so that he would be legal.
I'm saying this only on the basis that Mueller made a comment in the chat room that he said drugs should be legalized. The war on drugs has been lost. We might as well just accept it and let the natural selection take the place. I'm paraphrasing what he said here, but there's a point in that. And there's a certain point in what you're saying there. Like if you're 15 and you have sex with your boyfriend who's 16, there's no way that the courts should be wasting time prosecuting that. You've got two people within a short space of age that shouldn't happen. If you're 15 and you're having sex with a bloke who's 35, that should be prosecutable because that's wrong. That's sex with a minor. But if you're talking,
I agree.
15, 16, 17, and that's where when you were talking about the four-year rule, I thought, God, that sounds a really sensible use of public money. Don't prosecute a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old who are in love with each other, or a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old who go to the same school who happen to be having sex with each other. Just give them some counselling or something like that. But that's a waste of court money and public money to prosecute and see that through with the evidential process.
I agree.
And that sounded like it was going to be really logical for a second, and then you came out with the fact that it was a paedophile who wanted to shag a 15-year-old, the reason it went through. So that's a shame.
Yeah, it makes sense, and yet it's all tainted because of the way it came to be.
Yeah, having a 15-year-old son, I could see that if there was a girl in the year above him that fancied him and the pair of them did something, I wouldn't want either of them prosecuted. That'd be ridiculous. And I'm sure that probably they don't actually waste public money that way in this UK, but it does seem. Alcohol laws of Texas. Deep pan. Don't post the Wikipedia link, dude. I ain't got time to read it. Give me the highlights. What am I looking at here?
There it is.
Is there going to be a ruck with Jos Verstappen and Max? Legally 21 to consume alcohol with certain exceptions in another state in the United States. However, employment at a company serving alcohol beverage can be entered into at the age of 18, provided you get certified by the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission.
Oh, man, I want to get certified to drink.
Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission has got a film title written all over it, hasn't it?
It does.
It's going to star Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. And they're retiring, and who's taking over? Who's the dude with the curly hair was in Daddy's Home? Oh shit, what's his name? Him and someone else are taking over. That'd be hilarious.
I'd watch that. I want to be able to walk into a bar and just say, "Stand clear, everyone. I'm a licensed professional. Start pouring."
Texas Beverage Alcohol Commission. The Texas Beverage Alcohol Commission. Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission. There you go. Magic Man says, okay, what about a 14-year-old boy having sex with an older woman? Same thing. I didn't say, I wasn't meant to say that there was one sex or the other. If you're 35 and having sex with a 15-year-old, regardless of what your sex is, then I'm sorry, that's unacceptable and you should be prosecuted. And there is too much leniency for women for this offence as well at the moment, especially school teachers. As long as dad gives in the booze, it looks like it's okay, says Deep Pan. So thanks, mate. He's cut and pasted a huge section. When the minor is on there, that's like a legal definition, though. On a Wednesday, with red underpants, it's okay to drink alcohol if your dad's present and your mom there, and you've got one grandparent, at least, who's not in care. Good story, Jeff. I can't wait to see what happens there. So it wasn't Jeff. See, the Jeff second. It's Jeff second. It's not Jeff. Good.
Messed you about.
Good story.
The important thing is we all brought good stories.
Don't ever do that again. who's doing what? This? Okay. My story. Intel gears up for dual screen mobile devices. So this is on the back of the Lenovo Yoga Book coming out last year. And there's quite a few people who said that they liked it. I know Dot Rock said he bought one for his missus and she liked it. And Muller bought one for his wife and he liked it, even though she doesn't use it anymore. But he said it was a really good piece of tech. But there's a story on The Verge about Intel preparing for a dual screen computer future. And it looks kind of like it's, I don't know, there seems to be a proper computer screen on the left and then like an almost an e-ink type thing on the right-hand side where people will do writing. You can turn it the other way if you're left-handed. Intel are going all in on this. They have put loads of money into it. They are suggesting that it is the way of the future. And even they've gone more for this than they have for flexible screens. Discuss.
I think it looks perfect for Trump draws.
Yeah, no, it's ideal. I hadn't thought of that.
That's really funny.
I
feel like this is a prototype for the future from 1990.
Really? So it's like two HP Jornadas with stuck together.
Yeah. The whole concept of one side is the low power e-ink thing where you can write and presumably it has handwriting recognition, and then the other side is your dynamically active
proper
computer display.
Yeah.
I like the concept.
See, does that, because I go out with my iPad an awful lot to meetings, and if I sit with my laptop open typing notes from the meeting, people think I'm ignoring them. But when I get my iPad out and I open the Notes Plus app and I'm sitting there writing with the pencil, they look at me and go, yeah, you're clearly writing down, you're taking notes. It's no different than if you'd opened a book. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have with that is the fact I forget to charge the pencil regularly. So that's a problem. But this does look an awful lot more like you. I really like the idea of it, but they're saying from the way that the article's written, it looks like they've really gone into the idea that this is the way the market's going to go. And if it doesn't going to go, Intel could be taking a massive hit.
I can see this being popular in the corporate market. Price point, I can't see any idea of price point on this, and I think that'll be really key on it. I think certainly from a consumer point of view, and I think tech aware will probably more go for things like the iPad Pro, those sorts of devices. But I think if they've got the price point right and they've got the OS right with the right security for things like email, I think corporate could snap this up.
What is the right price point for something like that?
I think you're probably looking at sub $500.
Because the thing is as well, you're not just competing anymore with the iPad, are you? You're competing with the Surface, because the Surface and the Surface Mini have both got good reviews, good traction. Yeah. People that buy them like them. Bob Beach is showing us Atlee's application in the Slack room working on his Surface, and he loves that. And there's everyone that I've seen that talks about Surface loves it. You've got one of them.
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah, I love it.
So if you're hitting something that's going to hit in the $900 mark, you're dead in the water before you start.
Yeah, Surface absolutely beats that. This, for me, is a Kindle Fire and a Kindle Paperwhite stuck together. But the Paperwhite is...
Yeah.
That's what this is, but the Paperwhite with the screen you can write on.
So is there a market for a screen that's only a Paperwhite that doesn't do both?
I think in a corporate market, note taking in meetings, like you've just said, but you've got an internet browser that you, or an email consumer screen on the left hand side. Yeah, I think it could work, but the price point's got to be right. It's got to have the right security, unless it's just running 365 or something like that for your email on the left.
Yeah,
I could see it working in corporate. I can't see it working in consumer.
They need to make it so you can swap the screens.
Well, you turn it the other way around, I think.
Oh, okay. Then that would be awesome.
So you could, if you're a lefty, you just turn upside down. But it looks like it's got some kind of weird hinge. So whether that means you can pull it apart and stick it back together again, I think it does. So you might be able to do that.
Yeah, because otherwise, I know it's only it's just aesthetics, isn't it? But you've got your branding and be upside down on the other side.
Hmm. The other thing is there's a picture at the bottom where it's turned and it looks like the e-ink display becomes the keyboard. And that's... That looks really cool if that's the case.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is. I think that's the e-ink has become the keyboard.
I think you're right. That's very clever.
That might be a bit of a game changer.
Looks very Surface-like, that on screen.
So... Your £500 mark, I've got to agree with you. I think at £500, I might even be tempted for one of these myself. But
sure,
even though I've got the iPad, but with if the e-ink is going to do the keyboard as well as reacting with the stylus, I can't see it hitting £500.
I think price point is really key to the success of this thing.
There's a point here from Deeppan in the chat room. He says it's quite cynical, actually. So is Intel going for this because they can't keep up in the mobile chip race? Because Apple are doing well with the A-series, ARM-based stuff is doing brilliantly. So what's the mobile space for them? Because they've really struggled, haven't they, with Kaby Lake before Kaby Lake because of the power consumption issues, the flight restrictions, all of that stuff hit them really, really hard. So they've kind of dropped out of the mobile space for tablets completely, and they're in danger of dropping out of the laptop space as well, unless they keep inventing.
Well, yeah, then maybe this is Intel trying to invent and proactively position themselves for the next thing. I mean, I think devices are going to continue pushing more and more towards mobile. So, yeah, so maybe Intel has some insight into where these devices are going, and that's why they're jumping in so enthusiastically with this design.
So Lenovo have made one of these, and it is the YogaBook C930. And prices start at $999.99.
Nope, dead.
It's only dead. Small as well. You're only talking a 10-inch display.
Yeah, you'd have a Surface Pro or a Surface Go over this any day of the week, man, on that basis.
Yeah, I mean, the e-ink display on this does turn into a keyboard, so that might add £100 in my head to it. I might go for it at $650 or something like that. But at $1,000 with four gig of RAM.
But we've talked before about the differences on the show about between a physical keyboard and a screen keyboard, and obviously you used to love the and be able to type super quick on the BlackBerry. Was it the Bold?
Yeah, the Bold.
And so if you're looking, well, I can't remember what the exact price of the Surface Go was. I'm sure it was about $500, something like that. And then you shove your keyboard on top of that, so maybe an extra $100 on top of that. So for less than that, you've got a physical keyboard, a screen that's going to be as good, if not better. You've got the full Windows 10 OS on there, and you've got some pretty solid hardware.
Yeah, I mean, that is Surface entry price, isn't it? And it's a lot more than the Go.
Yeah. It's a lot more than the Go. So dependent on what the power's like in this machine, I don't think it's anywhere near competing with the Surface Go then. And it's miles behind the Pro.
Yeah, Deepan is feigning that he might not be cynical in the chat room. Bad luck, mate. if they can get this device to $300, they'll have chopped it into three pieces, mate.
Yeah.
The only way this device is going to make $300 is if you drop it.
Yeah, parts.
Yeah, the price point on this, I think it's too high.
Mm. It's miles too high, God. I mean, an e-ink display for a start, I mean, they must be pennies to manufacture.
At this point, I would assume so.
Yeah, and okay, the screen on the other side is 2600 by 1400, isn't it? So it's a good resolution for a small screen. It's a good quality screen, but it's, here we go, hang on. 2560 by 1600, so.
Yeah, whereas you and the, for a four gig of RAM, 64 gig, 10 inch Surface Go, running Windows 10S, John Lewis right now, £379.95.
Wow, I might buy that.
There's no keyboard with that. Keyboard will be extra. Call it £100. Call it £100 for your pen.
I'll drop that link in the chat room, mate. That's
That's just John Lewis. That's the first one I picked up. But you've got to put your keyboard. You've got to put your pen on there. So there's another £200 on. But yeah, still absolutely smashing this on price.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Intel, nice to know you, mate. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming.
Yep, thanks for playing.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Hosts. They're superb. We've got all our stuff over with them. I've transferred all my domains over, all my websites over. They are superb. We've got good reductions as well. So if you want to go hosting with them, all you've got to use the offer code BTN20. And if you use BTN20, you get 20% off all hosting services. You buy yourself a big dedicated server, you're still going to get 1/5 off with them, which is amazing. I know a few people have moved their stuff over and they're not regretting it as we speak. So please check them out, and please remember to just tweet out thanks to @TSO Host for supporting @British Tech. That kind of recognition on social media is why they want to be with us. So that kind of loyalty from you guys telling them thanks very much for keeping us on the air is really, really, really positive for us. And we do need you to do that. Please, you know, you don't have to buy the service if you don't really want to. That's fine. I'm not trying to push you into that. But please give the recognition to them for the contribution that they've made to keeping us on the air. It's amazing. And also thanks to the people at Telestream, because they've given us Wirecast, which is the stuff that I still don't know how to use properly. I've got to do something about this. But it's great. Lets us do all the switching. Lets me key out the green screen behind me, and it's superb. And thanks to Hoya as well, because they're still doing really, really well with Uniku. I don't know how many more Sheens are out there, but the one that you went to, Camps, worked really, really well.
That was over in York.
Yeah, here's a picture of Camp in his perspective glasses. And then there's a picture of him in the actual glasses. And doesn't that look similar?
Yeah, love these.
It's identical as well. The space and below the eyes where it's coming as well. Really, really cool.
I keep showing people these and trying them on. Nobody can believe how light they are.
Yeah. I went home the other day and I was sitting thinking, God, my Unikas are, maybe I've changed my prescription. I can't see out of these. And I pulled the glasses off and I'd got the ones for the studio one. And that's the beauty of them because they're unique. They've got my initials on the inside and the ones that are in the studio, I've got BT on them, not ER. So it's great. Superb. Time for a cool thing. Starts off camps.
Yeah, so my cool thing tonight, I've been trying to get a review unit for this. It's the Run Angel. Now, what this is, one of my friends, she bought one after I've been telling her about them. So it's essentially a wristband that you can connect to your phone just via Bluetooth. You can register the app on the phone and set up some what they call guardians. In other words, when you go out for a run, it will alert your guardian that you're out. It'll also allow them to track where you are from a safety point of view on a map, a little bit like Glimpse or Find My Friends type idea. And the other impressive thing as well is it's got 120 decibel personal attack alarm built into it as well, all in one small wristband, about the similar sort of size to the Apple Watch in size. And it's really effective, really effective. So one of my friends, she's out running on her own on a night. This is flashing, like I said, a little flashing LED on the wrist. If she pushes that alarm, 120 decibel siren's going to scream to say that she's in trouble or to draw some attention, and it will also alert the guardians that she needs help, who can then find her straight away and go help. So obviously dark nights are creeping in, dark mornings are creeping in when a lot of people are out running before and after work. I just thought this was a really clever device.
And that's really cool.
There is a certain point we need to make here, Camps, that says don't run down dark alleys, don't go out in the countryside where no one's going to find you.
You say that, though, Ewan. Somebody from the running club that I run up in an area probably about 3 miles from here, down a main road where there's a lot of houses on this main road, and she just got kicked by a group of kids into sort of like a wall, which, you know, that this is on a main road, this happened. Absolutely no reason, these kids are just idiots that did this. But, you know, I don't think it has to be on that dark alley nowadays, unfortunately.
Yeah. When I had pneumonia a few years ago, and the first time I went out cycling, I sent Sharon a Glimpse so that she'd know where I was. And she said, send me a Glimpse, I want to know where you are. I said, that's fine. And I got halfway round and I'd overdressed by a mile. So I started pulling my jacket off and stuffing it on the under saddle bag. And I got back and she said, why did you stop? I said, I stopped to put my coat in my bag. And she went, I nearly had a heart attack. I was sat watching it. She said, you were there for ages. I said, I was there for a couple of seconds. She went, well, it felt like ages. Don't ever do it. I don't want to know. Don't send me a Glimpse ever again. Okay, fair enough, I won't.
I just thought it's a great device. I mean, it's I think priced at $99. They've regularly got them on offer for $90, and they're quite regular. I think my friend paid £75 for it.
Euros.
I think the build is still fairly early days for them. They've not been out that long. The build quality is not bad. If I were paying £100 for it, I probably want it to be a little bit better, but I think that'll come in time. There's nothing wrong with the build quality, but I think there is a bit of room for improvement. But I think for a safety point of view, if male and female friends who are out running, depending on where they're running, this is something I'm going to be recommending to people.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, if it works, it works. You know, don't worry about the build quality, doesn't it? So, good pick, mate. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have something that's coming out on November 1st. It's a new Lego kit from the Lego Ideas Project. It's like surprisingly cool. It's called the Lego Ideas Pop-Up Book. And the guys that came up with this, they figured out how to build a... what looks like a book with a binding, and when you open it, the stuff inside actually pops up and stands up like a regular pop-up book. And I mean, the way they figured out how to make the hinges and everything, this thing is just like crazy cool. So you can build two different fairy tales, Little Red Riding Hood and Jack and the Beanstalk, and it comes with minifigures for both. And it's going to be, I think, £60 or yeah. $70. And it comes out on November 1st.
That
and
it just feels a little bit high.
Yes, it's cool. It's almost 900 bricks. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's actually per brick cheaper than a lot of other kits.
Okay. A lot of bricks then, yeah.
A lot of little bricks.
A lot of little bricks.
You're going to lose one, aren't you? And you can't finish it.
Yeah, and then you have to run to the Lego store and buy replacement bricks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good one, mate. I like that. Well, did you say a price?
It's, I believe it's £60 or $70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I said it sounds a bit pricey. You did say that. I'm an idiot.
No, you're testing me. Make sure I really meant it.
No,
right?
I'm an idiot. Forget it. Thanks very much for trying to get me out of that one, Jeff. I appreciate it.
I did my best, man.
Yeah, no, I'm a twat. My cool thing is, and I'm not going to go on about it every single week, don't worry, but Camp's brought it up. I have been losing a bit of weight and changing the way I live a little bit because it's been a hell of a ride. I got a birthday card off Guinness for 10 years. I'm not saying I drank a lot of the stuff, but they sent me a birthday card for 10 years. So I've been getting rid of the carbohydrates and eating an awful lot more proteins and that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I struggled with was like, okay, if the family have spaghetti bolognese, what am I going to have? Or if the family have like chili con carne, what am I going to have? And Mark Opp, who's Mark Culser from Hoya, said, well, why don't you try doing cauliflower rice? And I did that and it was brilliant. I really, really was happy with that. It felt really, really good. And then Muller suggested a spiralizer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the Gefu Spiral Spirelli 2.0 stainless steel thing. And we had courgettes the other night that Sharon had grown in her allotment, spun around in this thing. And then they were pan fried. And that was my pasta.
Yeah.
To go with the dinner.
Yes, yeah.
And like it was stunning. Absolutely.
Vegetable spaghetti.
Stunning. Vegetable spaghetti and vegetable rice is the way of the future. Definitely. And I was speaking to Joe, my mate who comes and helps tidy the office with me. And she said, I tried cauliflower rice. I didn't like it. I said, did you boil it? She went, yeah. I said, you're not supposed to stir fry it. No wonder it tasted like shit.
I'm going to have one of these.
£16, 35 pence, excluding VAT, £19.62, yeah. Including VAT. Yeah. And you can live healthy. Yeah. Eat all the fat you like. Eat all the vegetables you want. I've had a bit of a learning curve though, because I've been snacking on carrots. And I said to Cal, I've had a couple of carrots, you know, keep me going. He went, carrots are all carbohydrate, mate. You can't have those. Anything grows below the ground, you can't have. Oh, okay, fine. So, or starch.
I didn't know carrots were carbs.
Well, I don't know the carbs, but they're starch. They're full of starch, and starch is the problem. Oh, so okay. It's the carb, so always a thing that makes you fat anyway. So I've had to come off them. And I munched on some cashews the other day, and I got told off for those because they've got carb. But yeah. Pine nuts, man, 52 years old, I've never tried a pine nut in my life.
They're lovely, pine nuts.
I love them. I've got two 1 kilo bags kicking around the place. And I just pour them in a dish and leave them on the meeting table here in the office and just have a couple on the way past if I'm passing. They're lovely. Maybe that's why I haven't eaten for.
I like them stir fried.
Yeah, no, I've been. I had breakfast the other morning. I had a piece of salmon, some scrambled egg, some wilted spinach, and I just tossed some pine nuts into the oil at the end just to finish it off. And I've been using avocado oil. That's brilliant. Tastes amazing. Avocado oil tastes lovely, and it's full of fat. It's brilliant for you. Who'd have thought 30 years ago that we'd be talking about it's full of fat? It's brilliant for you.
And here we are.
Yeah, here
we are. Who would have thought 6 months ago that you'd have been talking avocado oil, Ian?
Well, yeah, no, I'd have been looking. I mean, 6 months ago, I was probably pissed with Muller in here. So. Going forward, I think my days of drinking beer are probably on the wane. I'll be on whiskies and gins in the future. So,
good man.
Yeah, exactly. So, good whiskies and good gin recommendations might be useful after Christmas when I've started to lose a bit more. Where can we get a hold of you, Camps?
Get me at Camping UK on Twitter. You can get me, my running stuff's all Instagram. That's Just Run Chris on Instagram, and you can get me in the chat room.
Bob said, carrots are very good for you. And I've said, no, they're not very good for you if you're losing weight. They're a bit crap.
Yeah, good to know. All right, I'm going to cut back on carrots.
Yeah, don't eat carrots. Is it polyunsaturated fats, says Bob? No, it's holy shit fats, mate. It's forget about the pork, cut the fat off and eat the fat and give the pork away. Just, it's that kind of fat. And you can't absorb it. And you can't get cholesterol from it. And you can't die from it. I intend to be living proof by Christmas that you can't. I'll have a blood test. I'm due a blood test. I've spoken to the doctor as well, and I said, I'm having a blood test. And he said, right, we'll have a blood test in December. So we can do kind of like where I was to where I am now. But I haven't got high blood pressure or anything like that. I just thought I'll have a blood test before I start, and then we'll have one afterwards. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
How about you can find me over at macobserver.com. with a bunch of other awesome writers, and on the Daily Observations podcast, after Halloween, not on Apple Context Machine because we're wrapping that one up. And I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. I'm easy to find, and I kind of get around the podcast circuit.
Just easy, really, I think is the phrase, isn't it?
Okay, I'm easy.
Like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming along, fellas. And stopping the rot of all the people leaving the show for the last minute. Do appreciate it. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow us at the network at British Tech. Please don't forget to say thanks at Telestream. Thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech on Twitter as well as. We're back again next week on Friday. We're doing both shows back to back on the Friday. And then there's no show the following week, so we've got 2 weeks off. And I'm going to post the show this tonight. So yeah, from last week. Sorry, I'm crap. No one sent me an email though, calling me a wanker. They should have done. Was that the show where I said you could do it? Or was it one? I can't remember.
I thought it was.
Have a great weekend. If we don't see you tomorrow for the Mac show, but it should be fun tomorrow because I think Rickards and Greeny are going to turn up here. So it should be a good fun afternoon. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.